The floor is open. Molana, if you've got questions there on your cell phone. What's the number again, Molana?
082-8422-786. 082-8422-786. Those brothers that are in the masjid, if you want, you could write your questions and forward it to the front, inshallah. The first question is, Assalamu alaikum. I have heard from a lot of people that certain imams of the haram are Salafis, but why do they read 20 rakats of Taraweeh?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, there is a scholar there in Medina Munawwara, and he wrote a book that Taraweeh Salat in Masjid al-Nabawi akthar min alfi amin, more than 1,000 years, 20 rakats Taraweeh is going on. Alhamdulillah. So that is a dalil that I'm giving you. But when you go out of the haram, then you will find it's only 8 rakats. As far as the imams of the haram being Salafi, that also is not 100%. Most of them, they follow the Hanbali school in most issues. In some issues, they don't follow the Hanbali school. So remember that if you study their syllabus, you study the system there, most of, if you look at Bin Baz, rahimahullah, I got his old kitabs written by Sheikh Bin Baz. I met him many times, alhamdulillah. He used to write Sheikh Abdul Aziz bin Abdullah bin Baz al-Hanbali. Same Sheikh bin Baz. He used to write al-Hanbali. But then when some other brothers came, they took the al-Hanbali out and they removed it. So in essence, they followed the Hanbali school. You must remember this thing. When we speak, remember, we're not speaking of Haramain only. We speak about all. You just go to Jeddah, you go to Dammam, go to Riyadh, go here, go there and see. Go to the United Arab Emirates, Dubai. 90% of the masjid, you won't find 20 rakats Taraweeh. You'll just find 8 rakats, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, everything finished. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, finish, Taraweeh, go. This is hadith sahih. Is this hadith sahih? It's a mockery you're making.
Did Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim follow any of the madhab?
See, brothers, you must understand one point. For us, if you listen to my words, I told you for people like me and you is wajib. Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Imam this, Imam that, they had that knowledge where they could become mujtahids. Whether they were mujtahids or not is a separate issue. Some ulama say Imam Bukhari was a Shafi. Yesterday or Wednesday I did Imam Abu Dawood. So Imam, they say he was a Hanbali. But some ulama say they all were mujtahid. So mujtahid means that they would not follow any particular school. But they had reached that level there. They had all that knowledge. Today we don't have that knowledge there. So therefore we cannot re-say because they became that, me and you can do that. Have we got that knowledge? No, we don't have that knowledge.
What is the difference between a ghair muqallid and a salafi?
Remember, ghair muqallid and salafi, there's big difference. If you speak of ghair muqallid, Pakistan, India and that, they swear and they abuse Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik. We saw in Pakistan ourselves, astaghfirullah. You know, they have pan, you know pan, the betel leaf. And then they have that tukdani, you know, where they spit. Sometime on that tukdani, they write the imam's names. Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, and they spit inside like that. So, the Salafis, alhamdulillah, they criticize maybe, we don't accept Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik. But they don't do some crazy things like this, where they, you know, really revile the imams and curse them and that. So the ghair muqallid is one step more dangerous, you must remember, than even the Salafi.
Can we respect Aimma Salafiya like Sheikh Albani or not?
You must respect every Muslim. See, Ibn Taymiyyah wrote a book, and especially for ulama, it's very good to have that book. Ibn Taymiyyah said, I don't agree with the imams, yeah. But I will never speak bad of them. Raf'ul malam an a'immatil a'lam. Raf'ul malam an a'immatil a'lam. And he said, his one answer he gives consistent. This imam didn't practice on this. La'alla al-hadith alam yabluhu. Maybe this hadith didn't reach him. Maybe this hadith didn't reach him. So we have serious differences with Sheikh Albani. But if you ask me, is he a scholar of hadith? I'll tell you he's a scholar of hadith. I went to Sheikh Yunus, the big Sheikh al-Hadith, now one of the big ulama in hadith in the world today. And I asked him, not once, twice. Once I asked him, Hazrat, kya raay hai? He said, bahut bade muhaddith hai. I want to tell one person who I know. He said, no. So I said, you come with me. Then we went again, and then to ask in front of him. Then Hazrat gave the same answer. So remember, he's a great muhaddith, but it doesn't mean we accept everything he says. So you must remember, there are certain places we totally reject what he says.
Please explain why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did various actions like raise the hands and then not raise. Many ladies are going for Arabic classes by Salafis, especially our wealthy ladies.
Remember that Nabi alayhi salatu salam was uswa'i hasana, Quran says. So Nabi alayhi salatu salam, yes, whether salat, whether other actions, who do things sometimes differently, taysiran linnas, to make it easy for the ummah. So sometimes Nabi alayhi salam raising hand, sometimes not raising hand, sometimes Nabi alayhi salam reading witr this way, sometimes reading witr that way. So all this was diversity in unity. To show the ummah, you can do it this way and you can do it that way. So there is no problem in that. And now one imam came, he looked at all these ahadith, he gave tarjih and preference to that. Another imam came and he saw the other ahadith and he gave preference to that. So that is why Nabi alayhi salatu salam did it. To make life easier for us.
Salam's got a friend who is a Hanafi, but he always only talks about Ahlul Bayt and neglects all other Sahaba. Seems like his friend is a Shia and indoctrinates his mind. What should I warn him about?
Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, was asked about the Shias in those days. I told Imam Abu Hanifa was born in 80 and passed away in 150. He said, this is the sign, the alamat of aqid of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Antufaddil al-Shaykhain. You must give virtue and preference to Shaykhain, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar. Go and see what the Shias write about them. Astaghfirullah. وَتُحِبَّ الْخَتَنَيْنِ. You must love both the son-in-laws. Sayyidina Usman radiallahu an and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an. They say they love one only. And then, وَتَرَى الْمَسَّحَ عَلَى الْخُفَّيْنِ. You make masah on khuffain. You make Shias, they make masah like this. Shias don't wash the feet. On the feet, they just do like this. They just make masah. I went to Iran, I saw it everywhere. Therefore, I don't read salat behind them. So, you must, not for this reason, also many other reasons. They just make like this. See, this came in my mind now. If you don't follow the four schools, you see this kind of socks, our nylon socks and cotton socks and all this. So now, a'imma arba, no one allows. But today, Salafi, they say just make masa like this, is alright. You see the harm. It means when we apply the Hanafi, Shafi, Maliki, Hanbali law, your salat is null and void. Why is null and void? Because you made masa in such a manner against a'imma arba. And when you... Are you telling me, Nabi alayhi salam said, hadith in Tirmidhi, La tajtami'u ummati ala dhalala. My ummah can never agree on something that is dhalala, astrayness. So from Imam Hanifa's time, Shafi's time, Malik's time, Hanbali's time, right till this time, yet 1,000 years have passed. You mean they were astray? Think about it. So you're opening problem for yourself. But we think we are doing something great.
Is it permissible to switch from one madhab to another madhab?
If a person is really someone who's got knowledge and all these type of things, and then he changes a different thing. For example, you know, there are some scholars, they were Hanafi and then they became Shafi, or they became Shafi, then they became Hanafi and this type of things. So if it is like that, but we today want to do it to suit our base desires. So that is not permissible. For our base desires, it's not permissible. Where is darurat? How can be a darurat? Shafi'i say, if the man and woman strangers, they touch skin to skin, huzu breaks. So now on Voice of the Cape, this question comes every year. Hajj time, Ramadan time, thousands of people going for Umrah, for Hajj. They'll say, Mufti, can ek a Hanafi huzu mark? Understand? You all understood what it means? Kaneka Hanafi huzu mark. It means that the question literally means, can I make a Hanafi huzu? But now we're used to it. What they're trying to say is this, that when I go to Makkah and that, so can I make intention of the Hanafis that my huzu will not break? So we say, yes, it's permissible. You don't have to practice on your Shafi school there because there's haraj. There's too much harm in that. So by mistake, The feet touches. You know, many people don't have socks, the ladies or the men and what have you. So the feet touch. Or by mistake, the hand touch. There's no gloves in that. So the huzu will break. So therefore, we bring the mazahib in. We say, you follow the Shafi'i school, but in this particular instance, due to extreme and dire need, you follow the Hanafi school and there's no problem for you. So the mazahib became a mercy for you.
Are the Salafiyya Aqeedah differences major or not?
With the Salafis, we have two big problems. One is the Aqeedah on certain issues and on fiqh and many issues. For example, if you ask the Salafi today, this is a famous thing. Ain Allah, and this is a famous masla with them. That where is Allah? They say Allah was on top. Finish. If you ask them, what is the meaning of this ayat? وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ. For Allah, the east and the west, everything belongs to Allah. فَأَيْنَ مَا تُوَلُّوا. Any direction you turn, فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. There you will find the countenance of Allah. So what is that telling you? See? So you must remember this. So we have big problems on this issue. But I don't want to now go into too much technicalities. It's on radio and public and that. You know, it's not the Darul Uloom where we're teaching students or something. So these are certain issues we have differences. Then in fiqh, I gave you all the differences. Now the famous ones and this type of thing.
Salams, is it better to follow the madhab of a country you're visiting, an example, Witr in Makkah, the way they do, or read our way as in South Africa?
If you just see my kitabs, they sell it here and all that. So you will find it there. I am very strong on this. And I always say that when you go to Makkah, Mukarramah, Madinah, Munawwarah, or any other country for that matter, and they reading witr, two rakats, they make salam, and then they read one rakat, you must follow the imam. Among our ulama, Indo-Pak ulama, I give you the names. Hazrat Mufti Ashik Ilahi, also our ustad. I asked him personally, he said permissible. Hazrat Allama bin Nuri Rahimahullah, I made Ramadan with him. He saw, Hazrat used to see us reading. 100% permissible. And Ma'arifu Sunan is written there. Allama Kashmiri Rahimahullah, permissible. Written in Arfu Shadi. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Gangohi Rahimahullah, permissible. If you want reference, go ask Mufti Ibrahim Saleji of Ispingo Beach, he'll tell you. If you want another one, Mufti Taqi Usmani, who's coming now, you can ask him when he comes. So you must, so all these they say is permissible. So we don't agree with any alim on this issue that a Hanafi must read Fajr, Zohar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, Taraweeh behind the Imam, and Witr come, Hanafis go and make their own Jamaat. We don't agree with that. We say follow the Imam. I was now in Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka is mostly Shafis. So if they read their Asr 4 o'clock, and Maghrib is 7 o'clock, example I'm giving. So we read Asr with them. We got no problem with this type of things there. In some time, we want to be more Catholic than the Pope. Understand? So we also sometimes, you know, don't go to so much extreme also.
Respected Mufti, what is your opinion regarding those who study in universities like Medina University?
I always tell people that I would not advise you just to go directly to Medina University. Now, we were in Newcastle, Jalsa. One student came to me running and he said, I want to go Medina. I asked him which year, he said in 5th year. I said, no, you can't go. If you ask him, I'm sure you can't go. You finish your 6th year in Darul Uloom, you finish your course, then you go to Medina, it's fine. So my advice, any youngster, not only Medina, any one of these universities in the Arab world, in it, that is not healthy for you to go just as a Hafiz or matriculant and you just go like that. You don't have anything that is strong and solid. So what they will do, you're going like a sponge. You're going like an empty chalkboard. And they will just write. So it's very dangerous sometimes. So rather you study locally, have a solid background, and then you go and study. We went for Hajj, I can't remember, 4 or 5 years ago. The ambassador was our brother Sheikh from Cape Town. So he arranged it. South African ambassador was Sheikh Khabir from Cape Town. He arranged it. He said, we need 12, 15 ulama and we will make you all qazis. In 2 weeks, they gave us qazi certificate. They made us all judges and everything. You understand? So, first time I'm telling people in public anyway, so this type of thing. So, in 2 weeks, so the first lesson set. in Riyadh. Any alim here who was with us? Nobody. Chalo. So we sat in that first lesson. So the ustad is teaching this, this and all. So he said something, and this, I picked up my hand. So he said, what? I said, Sheikh, you are our ustad, you're teaching us that usul you're teaching is right, but the hadith you're telling us is wrong. You couldn't believe, you know. These guys, they're not Arabs, this, that. They're coming and tell me the hadith I'm quoting is wrong. Then I told him, you see, this hadith you quoted is in Tirmidhi's Kitabul Ilal. And if you read the ibarat, Imam Tirmizi said, "Kullu ma fi hadha al-kitab fa huwa ma'mulun bihi illa ma ada hadha ma ada al-hadithain." Everything in this kitab we can practice on, but two hadith you can't practice on. None of the imma arba and other imams practice on it. And he quoted that hadith. That way you combine Zuhr and Asr, what the Shias do. You combine Zuhr and Asr in your hometown. You go to Tehran, you go to Shiraz, you go to Isfahan, you go to Kashan, you go to Qum, everywhere. I went all this. Zohar, Azan go, they read Zohar. After Zohar finish 5 minutes, they read Asr. Maghrib Salat, 20 minutes after Azan, after sunset, they give Maghrib Azan. After Maghrib, then they read Isha. So the hadith in Tirmidhi says, min ghairi matarin, wala safarin, wala maridin. There was no rain, there was no sickness, there was no journey. So no one accept. Now he quoted that hadith. So he looked at me and he said, "Anta min al-muhaddithin." I said, no, we students here, we're learning from you, Sheikh. The usul you gave is right, but the hadith you quoted is wrong. So why I'm mentioning this? Now if you go blank and they tell you that, will you swallow it or not? You will swallow it hook, line and sinker. So if you got some background, so then you can speak. That is what knowledge is about. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma is Bukhari Sharif hadith. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, walam yahtalim. He was not even baligh. He was 12, 13 years old. But he became Hibru hadhi al-umma. He became Tarjumanul Quran, the greatest commentator of Quran. They asked him, Abdullah, how you became so great? He said, inni sa'ulun wa aqul. I used to ask a lot of questions and I used to use my intelligence, he said. You see? So you must ask. Now how are you going to ask if you don't have any background? So therefore, personally, I don't advise people, just matrik, send them over, hafiz, send them over, and this type of thing. Have some, mashallah, South Africa, we got so many Darul Uloom, study here, and then you go. So no problem.
Is it permissible for a Hanafi to join between Salat on a journey?
Remember, Hanafis, you can't join Salat on a journey. What you can do is this, that you know that Zohar time ends, I'm just giving time at random, at 3:30, Zohar time ends. Then at 3:35, 3:40, Asr time starts. So at 3:20, 3:25, you read your Zohar Salat. And when you finish 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 4 minutes, you pause, and then you read Asr Salat in the beginning time. So that Jama Suri, Jama Fa'ali you do. But that you can. But to bring Asr in Zohar time, or to take Zohar in Asr time, or Isha in Maghrib time, Maghrib in Isha time, that Hanafi is not allowed. Only in Arafat and Muzdalifa they allow it.
Do our ulama meet with Salafiya ulama? Who is Sheikh Shinqiti?
We meet. I met Sheikh Shinqiti myself. Sheikh Mukhtar Shinqiti. Alhamdulillah, we try and take good from all the ulama. When I used to meet Sheikh Umar Fallata, how I do with Sheikh Sabuni, the whole world so, mashallah, in the Jalsa also. I was telling the ulama, the people present, that I said, you see this Honorable Sheikh Muhammad Ali Sabuni, our ustad, that he is the ustad of the imams of the haram. Sheikh Salih bin Humaid, the senior imam of the haram, 31 years, he's the imam. So, Sheikh Sabuni is his teacher. Sheikh Usama Khayyat is 17 years imam of the haram. Sheikh Sabuni is his teacher. So Sheikh, he says, "Wa anta min tilmizi," and you my student also. He's telling me. So I went to him and kissed him on his forehead in front of everybody. So whenever I meet him, he knows I do that. There was a muhaddis there in Masjid Nabawi, African, from Nigeria, Sheikh Umar Fallata. So 49 years he taught hadith in Masjid Nabawi. Whenever we used to sit in his dars, we go, we kiss him on his forehead, then we sit down. Or after dars, after lesson, we... So wherever we get good, we can take it from there. But it don't mean we agree with you on every issue. That don't mean that. We will take the good from you, but we will not agree with you. So a big difference between them.
Salams, I have heard that Imam Bukhari has ridiculed Imam Abu Hanifa.
Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, was a master of hadith. Imam Abu Hanifa was a master of fiqh. So Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, some places, the word ridicule is wrong. Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, some places, he raised some strong points against Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, and the ulama, they wrote books as answers and knowledge. Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda. You see, Sheikh Sabuni addressed you. He's from Halab, from Aleppo. He was born there. When he was 29 years, 30 years, his beard was black, he came to Makkah. He's in Makkah now 55 years. So he's 85 years old now. So Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, born in Halab, Aleppo. So he came and he also, then he made khidmat of hadith. He passed away, Riyadh. See, Allah, I give you honor, even at that time. You see, this man, he made so much khidmat of hadith, bring his body, they buried him in Baqi in Madinah Munawwara. So Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, he wrote all the objections which Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, raised, and he answered it all. I got the book at home. So you must remember, this is academic discussion. What you will say, the person who asked this question, what you will say, you said Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, the word you used, ridiculed Imam Abu Hanifa. Okay? Now you, the same brother, you know Arabic, because if you answer it, tomorrow, tonight, go to Sahih Muslim, go read the Muqaddama of Sahih Muslim. Imam Muslim is the student of Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah. Go see the objections Imam Muslim raised against Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah. In the Muqaddama of Sahih Muslim, what you will say? That Imam Muslim ridiculed Imam Bukhari? No. We will say it was academic discussion. And when he saw Bukhari, he said, Ya Bukhari, Ya Muhammad ibn Ismail, Da'ani uqabbilu rijlaik, Ya Amir al-Mu'minin fil hadith. He said, Oh my Ustad, please give me the permission. I kiss your hand, I kiss your feet. You are my Ustad, but I differ with you on this earth. That was academic discussion.
Salams, what does Mufti Sahib think of certain strange practices that we witness in the month of Muharram, which are not found in the four mazhabs?
All that is Shia propaganda. The problem is our people become half Shia in Muharram. There's the problem then. When we were in Pakistan in the 70s, we never saw all these things there. So in the 70s, we were there in Karachi, Muharram came, the bioscope, the cinema, they take a big black cloth and they put around the bioscope. What's this? You say, no, bioscope be ro raha hai. The bioscope also is crying for Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. What shaitaniyat is this? Then the matam is going on, taking change and hitting and all these type of things there. So you must remember, our people also, they get influenced by the Shia propaganda. You must remember this. Shia propaganda is so rife. You must remember that. That people don't even know that they're following what the Shias do. See, I give you one, two examples. You mustn't confuse what I'm saying. You go home now after the program and ask your wife, ask your mother, your daughter, who are the grandchildren of Nabi alayhi salam, the most famous? Straight away they will say, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein. I reiterate. I'm not saying to say Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein is haram or makruh. But I want to ask you the question, why you say Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein? Why you don't say Imam Abu Bakr, Imam Ali, Imam Umar, Imam Usman? You see, the term Imam came from the Shias. So therefore, rather me and you, we belong to the Ahlu Sunnah. So change the term, use the word Nabi alayhi salam used. Al-Hasan wal-Husayn, Sayyida shababi Ahli al-Jannah. Authentic hadith in Jannah. Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein. You understand the point I'm making? So we must use our terminology. Our ulama used Imam Hassan Ibn Hussein. Our great ulama. We don't say it's haram. But when the Shia use the term Imam, it means Imam Ma'asum, the infallible Imam. They're the Imam. I brought books. Wallahi, I'm in a masjid. It's light of Jumu'ah. Wallahi al-Azim. If you come, I'll show you. They wrote in the kitab, This is the Shia belief. Number one, Almighty Allah. Number two, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Number three, the 12 Imams. So Imam Ali, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Imam Jafar, Imam Baqir, Imam Jafar, Imam. They greater Allah for, but this is kufr itself. They greater than Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Greater than Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Greater than Nabi Isa alayhi salam. Do you understand what I'm saying, my brothers? You must understand what they say, these people. So this is, so now our people is follow. But so definitely all that is rejected. We don't have make majlis in Mubarak and majlis in Muharram and everybody cry and Fatima ki kahani and what kind of stories they got.
No problem. With 30, 40 more questions.
Subhanallah. Just take a few there.
If the Salafi threat is serious, then why meet them when they are only critics of our madhab? And why give them respect more than what they deserve?
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a mercy to the entire creation. We didn't learn from Nabi alayhi salam. Go read the hadith of Sumama bin Usal radiallahu anhu. Sumama radiallahu anhu was captured by the Sahaba. They fastened him there with a pillar. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is standing with a sword. Ya Rasulullah, give me permission, I behead him now. Nabi alayhi salam said, have you given him food? Sumama is wondering, yeah, they want to kill me. Nabi alayhi salam is speaking. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell him, become Muslim. He said, no, I won't become. One day, he's there in Masjid Nabawi. He sees the salat, this. Second day, third day. After 3 days, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Sahaba, leave him, let him go. Sahaba was amazed. This man came to assassinate, to kill Nabi alayhi salam, here Nabi alayhi salam, leave him. He went out, everything, took ghusl, everything, and he came back. And then he came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna Muhammad abdul Rasul. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Sumama, I told you bring iman, then you don't bring iman. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I should have brought iman that time. People should have said, Sumama brought iman because the safe, the sword was there. I want to show I brought iman, not min khashyati safe, not because of the fear of the sword. I went out, you gave me permission, you gave me asylum also. And I came back and brought iman min khashyatillah, out of the fear of Allah. You understand? You can't win people over if you don't mingle with them and win them over. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ You have to be soft with people. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظًا لَنْفَدُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ They all will run away. How many people were Salafis? How many people were Shias? How many were there? When we speak to them, maybe they don't become 100%. But we leave that thought in their mind. They start thinking that this man is talking sense. When I went to Iran, that Safiullah Khan, you all heard this story. 7 years in Masfam, 6 years in Azhar, 15 years in Qum. I sat with him for 3 hours. And I told him, Sheikh, that you die now. I pass the fatwa on kufr on you. You must remember. And he was really shaken by that. Whether he becomes Sunni or not, I don't know. But we have to meet the people, we have to discuss with them, we have to try and win them over with our akhlaq. So if you, I ask you, the brother who asked this question, what you will say of this hadith? They asked Nabi alayhi salam, you meet all these non-Muslims and all of them, so much ikram you showed them. Nabi alayhi salam, Bukhari's hadith this. Nabi alayhi salam said, وَإِنَّ قُلُوبَنَا لَتَلْعَنُهُمْ Our hearts curse them, but we meet them. If somebody had to say this today, our people will say, you hypocrite. So, you understand what I'm saying? So we have to mingle, we have to associate. You can't just speak against them and no. That's why we always say, you want to debate, come, we debate, no problem. Anybody. I say it only 100 times. You Qadiani, you Shia, you Salafi, you this, you that. You come to debate, come, we debate. I give you our airways. No problem.
Assalamu alaikum. What is Mufti Sahab's opinion on a well-known celebrity who appears on television and on your radio station and is given a platform in our masajid? Should we listen to him or not?
You see this? It's a loaded question. So, see, we all know who he's speaking about, right? You know and I know anything. When they ask me, must he speak? I say, the decision is yours. If you want my decision, let him speak. You understand? Do I agree with him on all issues? I don't agree with him. But I rather have him speaking than some other character speaking there who will cause more harm and this type of thing. I went to Sri Lanka. He's Mufti Menk, this question, right? So, let us be honest about this. I went to Sri Lanka. See, I tell you one story. I was so happy when I heard this story. They say, Mufti, you leaving? Next week, Mufti Menk is coming. You understood? And this type of thing. I think this week or next week, he'll be there. You see, these three Hindu youngsters. Hindu meaning Hindu, Buddhist and all this kind of. And they're waiting for Mufti Menk. I say, for what? They say they heard him on the radio and they saw him on the TV and thus and thus. And they love him and they became Muslim. You understand? So sometimes, brothers, I don't agree with him on every issue. Let me make that clear. But one thing I'll tell you is this. You can't take this away from him. He reads Quran beautifully. And his lectures are good also. You don't understand? So if some people are benefiting, some people are embracing Islam and all these things here, so why should I take him off the radio and this type of thing? You understand? I can have differences. I offer the platform to anybody besides Shia and Qadianis. Even Salafis, if they want to come on air, I'll only tell them one thing. Don't go and criticize anybody and don't come and push your school and propagate your school. Just give some advice. We have the program. How many times I did it? That I say that I'll give you the airways. We got no problem. So this type of thing. Here in Durban, how many people? We don't agree with a lot of things. But if you want the airways, I'll give it to you. Leave other people. I'll give it to you. And this type of things. Yeah. You understood? Because somebody will benefit. We got no problem with that. But it does not mean we agree with everything they do. You understand? See, our Haji Farooq Sahib, Hazrat's Khalifa, Rahimahullah, he taught me, that's why you have to sit with the ulama and the awliyaullah. Wallahi, yesterday I said to Hazrat Mufti Rizalak, we sat alone for hours, alhamdulillah. So yesterday I left Hazrat's place 10 o'clock, or 10 o'clock at night. So Hazrat is leaving now for New Zealand on Saturday. But Haji Farooq Sahib, he taught me one sentence. He said that, jiska zarf bara ho, Allah inko bara bana deta hai. Keep little bit big heart also, you know. So no, only I must be on the radio, all those other Maulanas leave them out. You can't do these kind of things. You must allow, sir. When we started Channel Islam, and this whole topic of tonight, so I started there in 2001, so this 22nd January was my first broadcast. Imagine 2013, So, I say Hanafi say this, Shafi say this, Maliki say this. Leave everybody else. Our ulama, they came to the studio, we were in Lens. They say, you're causing a lot of trouble. I say, what? He say, what you have to say, the Shafi school and Maliki school and all? Just say Hanafi school. I say, the whole ummah is Hanafi. Today, they're the same people, they come, they say, Jazakallah. Because the influx of foreigners, you come to our Jami Masjid, you come to our masjid in Mayfair, you go here, you find more foreigners, Malikis, Shafi'is, this, that, than the Hanafis and this type of thing. So if you don't know anything about it, then how are you? So Islam is for all brothers. We can't be so, you understand, that make every whole world must become Hanafi. It won't work like that.
Assalamu alaikum. What is Mufti Sahib's opinion on all Shia kafir? Recently there was a well-known scholar from America who originated from Syria, who mentioned that it is not permissible to call even a Shia a kafir.
Remember, I say this on air many times. I say our verdict is majority of the Shias are kafir. But we don't say every Shia is a kafir. If you say every Shia is a kafir, then you'll have to say the Zaydis. I've been to Yemen, we read Salat behind them, everything. Our difference with them is not on fundamental issues, is on secondary issues. So they are Muslim. If you say every Shia is a kafir, then what's going to happen to all the Rawis and reporters? In Bukhari, they are Shia reporters. In Muslim, they are Shia reporters. In Abu Dawood, they are Shia. What you will say then? That these ulama, they brought Kafir reporters? So sometimes we get carried away when we make this. To say majority, you safe. You must remember that. The Isna. This, just I break it down quickly. In Syria, this Bashar Assad regime, 150,000 he killed of our people. 100% Kafir. There's no, if you got doubt in that, then you also go out to the followers. 100% Kafir. You must remember that. Second one, there's Isna Ashariya. These Iranians, and the Isna Ashariya. That majority of them out of the fold of Islam. I told you, I gave you all those lectures already. You just take 2-3 lessons. They got in every big masjid of theirs, where they cursing Sahaba, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Amir and Muawiyah. One. Second one is this, that some of them, you must remember, that they don't even believe. I don't say all. Some of them, they don't even believe that this Quran is complete. If you want a reference, I give you their reference. Their greatest work is called Usulul Kafi. Usulul Kafi's commentary is Mir'atul Uqul. Mir'atul Uqul is written by Allama Baqir Majlisi. Allama Baqir Majlisi is their biggest mujtahid. Allama Baqir Majlisi writes, in Mir'atul Uqul, the Quran has got 17,000 verses. Our Quran got 6,236 verses. The Quran has got 17,000 verses. That original Quran is by the Mahdi who's there in the cave. So what fatwa we will pass then? So we must not hesitate in these things. It's open kufr in this type of things. Yeah. Now, Maulana was present. Ask Maulana. I'm sitting at whose house we were, Maulana? Hafiz Nasser's place. And there, this thing, Cape Town. They say, Mufti sir, please tell us about Mut'ah. This temporary marriage, they call. What temporary marriage? 100% prostitution. I said, see, Khomeini wrote, in Tawdihul Masail, I have the kitab. You can make 1 hour Mut'ah. You tell the girl, I will use you for 1 hour, here's your 100 riyal. You don't need no witnesses. She's not your wife. You don't have to make nafaka on her. And you die in that 1 hour. You had your fun and it was your last one. You once tasted, never wasted. You died after that. She won't inherit from you. You understand? And this type of thing. His wife or his girlfriend? I'm asking you. What you think? So you must remember this. So from their books, all these things there. Sheikh Sabuni, who addressed you now, he wrote a book. Nikahul Mut'ati Haram. In there he quoted, Qala al-Imamul Jafar al-Sadiq, al-Mut'ah hiya zina bi-ayliha. It's 100% prostitution. Imam Jafar Sadiq said so. So all this kind of thing. So how we can call a Muslim in this type of thing? So you must remember, we say majority are out of the fold of Islam. Okay, brothers, mashallah, very lively session it was, and this type of things. So inshallah, our program tomorrow, Jummah, there will be Maulana Umslanga. There will be Umslanga. I see a lot of Noor there, you know. So the number plates also all Noor in this town. So this time. Then tomorrow night also a lot of Noor there, inshallah. So if you want more questions, you come there tomorrow night. And this thing. Is Q&A there also?
Inshallah, tomorrow the program will be on the history of the Madahib. How did the Madahib originate?
See, brothers, this is another added dimension. You must remember, when I spoke about this, they also threatened me with a lot of things, these people. Quickly, I tell you 2-3 things. I was in Polokwane in Petersburg for a lecture. It was Asr time. They came to me and they told me, come to our school. So I went. Allah just put in my head, I say, bring your syllabus. I want to just see. So they brought the syllabus. I looked at it. I said, who prepared this? They say, our sheikh. I said, this hadith is maudu. It's fabricated. It's a lie. I turned, this hadith is fabricated. I said, we got serious problems with you. And this thing. So that was my first thing. Second, then I go to one, two other places, the Turkish school and this. I see. They say Muslim school, but the student is not allowed to keep beard. You must wear suit and tie and this type of thing. But Muslim school and this. Hey, what's all this? You see, if you studied, I've been to Turkey 3-4 times, I can't remember. If you go to Turkey and read the history, you must remember Ataturk came and he banned everything. You can't wear hat, you can't have beard, you can't speak Arabic. When we went with a proper guide tour, we had to pay. You know, 20, 30 of us, I can't remember how many. So we went with the guide. So they take us there, take us. Now we go to Topkapi. We're all, you know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Mubarak here and all. So I keep quiet. So there is a lady guide. She said this, say this. So I say, why you don't tell the people that Arabic day is all written? Now she look at me. She say, you know, I'm ashamed, but I have to admit, even I can't read Arabic. She is the guide, but she can't read Arabic. I told her, now you keep quiet, I'm the guide. You understand? So this is our thing. So I will read all and I'll explain to the people and all this stuff. You see what they did? So what happened? Now you start having the Sufi tariqas. You understood? Sufi tariqa, very good some of them. But some of them totally out of, you know, mix up totally. So you must remember, today, in Voice of the Cape, it came. They say there's one group here, they want to play tabla in the masjid. And they make zikr with the tabla. Ask Maulana was present. And this time, Mufti Sahib, to bring the tabla and all that, and we make zikr in the masjid, is jais? Now I ask you. So when we speak against them, then people say we're speaking. We're not speaking against every group. But there's some groups, they start dancing. They're doing all this kind of thing. How we can say jais, all this kind of things? You see? So we have to condemn them on this level. So, inshallah, brothers, this is our program. Maulana announced it. Does that finish? And the ladies' program Saturday, inshallah. We're going to leave the ladies out. They got their own questions going. You understand? So this type of thing. Ladies, they ask much more than you all, you know. Men, they ask for istikhara first. Men, women, they just make a straight. You understood? So inshallah, brothers, last thing I just want to tell you. Tonight is Laylatul Jumu'ah. Therefore, I read Durood Sharif in the start. Brothers, this is from my heart. Wallahi, you don't know. We love like kings here, you know. Waja'alakum muluka. Wallahi. Show me one brother here who doesn't have 2 meals, 3 meals every day. Ask the Syrian child. 7 million now, 8 million are refugees. Some of them have to sell their bodies to feed their children. I'm not justifying. But Allah must never put us in such a position. Understand that. For me and you to condemn is very easy. But when that mother sees a child dying, you understand? So at least raise your hand and make dua. Myanmar, Burma, go and ask the Muslims what is happening. In front of them, they murder their children, they rape their women, and they burn the masajid. And this type of thing. So we have Burma, Myanmar, we have Syria, we have Palestine, we have Iraq, we have Afghanistan, we have Kashmir. The whole world, Christians, Jews, Hindus, Buddhists, whole lot have said, these Muslims, we must eliminate them. And we find our people, some of them joining them. And that are the munafiqeen and hypocrites. Whether they're politicians or what. Brothers, believe you me, we don't have to please people. Wallahi, I tell you, we don't have to please people. Please Allah, you will see what to izzu man tasha, what to dhillu man tasha. Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, I spoke about him now. They put him in jail in Dimashq. The people saw he's becoming too famous and very this and that. So they went to the king and put him in jail. They come and ask him, the same people, how's things in jail? He say, Batinuhu fihi rahma wa zahiruhu min qibalil adab. From where you standing, I'm in punishment. But where I am inside, Allah's rahma is coming on me. What coila, he wrote one whole book in jail. See, brothers? That is what u'izzu man tasha, what u'zillu man tasha. So brothers, you must remember, we love like kings here. Therefore, we got also so much musti going, you know, das and all this. We don't know, and Allah must never bring it. We don't have war, we don't have civil war, we have crime. Yes, we admit that. We have Tuesday, yours the lucky. Tuesday, we have to pay e-tolls, you know. Yeah. So there's a lot of damal still going on. All this. Every time I see the toll there, I say, I don't know what we're going to do. You don't understood? So anyway, all that we're going to do. But I just ask you, I beg you from the bottom of my heart, and I hope you, Rijal Ansar, you're still with us. I hope you're not gone there. So anyway, your sisters also, at least before you sleep tonight, or Allah give tawfiq, you wake up 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and you make dua. Ya Allah, have mercy on this ummah. Ya Allah, protect our iman. If we, without Junaid Baghdadi, if you go by his grave, he's written Sayyidu Taifa. They asked him, oh Junaid, you better or the dog is better? Somebody must come now and ask me. I'll say, you come here, I show you who's better. I'm to ask him, chara denge. You understand? We will give him such a hiding, he will never ask us. Isn't it so? See, people of wisdom, he said, you ask me good question. If I die with iman, then I'm better than the dog. If I die without iman, even the dog is better than me. You see, brothers? So this is a challenge. Our children, what's going to happen to them? Somebody go away with a Shia, somebody goes away freelancer, this one goes this way, this one. But we, what are we doing? He told me now, we're ending the program, Voice of the Cape. He said, Mufti, you got 2 minutes, speak. I said, I give you a quick advice. Fathers, holidays are coming. You must monitor your children. It's your duty as a father and mother. And McLinkies, my sons and daughters, it's your duty to make sure, because they're facing a massive problem of drugs there, with the tuck and duck and all these kind of things there. So I said, it's your duty to see where with whom you are mingling. Holiday is coming, so now we just make free for all. So brothers, make special dua for our families, for ourselves, for the entire ummah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillah.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.